to Tabletop Game Talk, On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop gaming topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Fletcher.
I'm Kitty.
And I'm Chris.
Today we're talking about what makes something a game, or a puzzle, or an activity. Yeah, this could turn into arguing semantics, but hopefully not. Really, what we're going to try to do is identify the traits of each of these things and see how it affects our choices of games that we like.
But first, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, George, Gia, Adam Harrison, the SGC, and Thomas Achireddy. And a huge thank you to all of our other patrons as well. So there are other podcasts in the podcast sphere. I listened to a few of them, and I'm just going to jump right in and do this, because I was listening to the the Covenant cast, and Thomas Achireddy apparently listens to and sent in a question that I thought was interesting, and I wanted to steal just briefly. You guys don't listen to the Covenant cast, right?
I do not.
Nope.
So they are, I believe they're a store in Oakland, if I remember correctly, or Oklahoma, one of those O places.
Oakbrook, Oak Lawn, somewhere.
I don't know. But they do a lot of focus on Fantasy Flight stuff. So I started listening to them when they were covering Keyforge. And so I've been continuing to listen to them. But there was a question that Thomas asked, and he basically said, he wanted to know their experiences with Kickstarter, specifically around God Tier, which has a bunch of delays by Steamforge Games. And the Covenant people decided that they were going to respond relatively negatively about Kickstarter. They were focusing very much on the Kickstarter fails and such, and going so far as to saying, I always Kickstart assuming I'm not going to get it. And I thought that was interesting, since I've backed, I don't know, almost 160 games, and I think there's one thing that I still haven't received, but they're still saying that it's going to come. But what I found most fascinating about this was their take on the fact that Kickstarter and Amazon were the most disrupting forces in the board gaming, basically, hobby. And when I started thinking about that, I said, that makes a lot of sense from a retailer point of view, but from a consumer point of view, I don't see these as bad things. And I just wanted to get your guys' take on this. Like, what do you think? Like, is Kickstarter, I don't know, Fletcher, have you ever Kickstarted anything?
I have, not board games though. To me, I see Kickstarter as like a couple of different things. And this could be a whole separate topic, but like one of them, people asking for refunds for Kickstarter things, I think are weird. Like, you're not buying something. The whole point is that this person is making something that otherwise they wouldn't make because they don't have the funds to do it. So just like if you're investing in something, if it fails, you don't get a refund. So to me, that's weird to ask for a refund. And then the other weird thing is like big companies, like I've seen like Logitech do it and Casper and like other big companies, kickstart products. I'm like, you're a big company. You don't need to kickstart a brand or product, like just launch it. Like, why are you kickstarting this?
That's CMON in the board gaming world. So this was Cool Mini or not. Every game that they release, they put up on Kickstarter. And in some ways, it's really good for the industry because it draws attention to Kickstarter and brings people, once you're at the website, looking at Starcadia Quest or whatever new hotness CMON has put out. So you can get all of the exclusives that you can only get through Kickstarter, which is basically like a fancy pre-order for them. But you'll go and you'll see these other indie games that maybe wouldn't get off the ground otherwise. On the other hand, now the production value of every game that goes up on Kickstarter has to be competing with CMON to get attention from backers. So it's like a double-edged sort of like, I don't know about this production value versus added value to the gaming community. But as for my experiences with Kickstarter, I started backing things about a year ago, I'd say. And I've backed 34 projects. And the longest project that I think I backed, I'm looking at March 2018. I've received 12 of my 34 projects already.
Which is a reasonable amount. Most of the time, it takes at least a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And those are mostly smaller games, and they have a smaller window. Some of them have been basically ready to ship. They just needed the money to finish the printing. And those ones come out really fast, especially card games. And, you know, the more development there is, the more of a risk you're taking, it seems. So some of these games that I've backed, something like Ephemeris, that one seemed to have a lot more testing and gameplay design to kind of polish up. But I still get things from them all the time.
Yeah.
Updates.
Yeah, I would say that the one thing I do is ignore the dates of the estimated delivery dates. I just completely ignore them. Because if you look at those, yeah, you can probably find that every single Kickstarter is going to miss those by some amount. And they're estimates. They're meant to be estimates. But beyond that, I don't see the issues that the exceptions tend to highlight. So there are problems out there. There are certainly Kickstarters that have had, you know, terrible, terrible results and, you know, screwed over backers and such. But I don't see that as the norm. I see that as a extreme minority case. However, in order to not go too much longer into this, because like I said, this is something we can talk about.
It's a side topic.
Yeah. This is more of a reminder to our friends of the show. If you have a topic you want us to talk about, let us know. And I think I said something like at least one topic a year, maybe even two topics a year. We'll just do your topics. So, Thomas, if you are interested in getting more of our input in this, because I think Kitty and I call ourselves somewhat Kickstarter experts, at least in the board game realm, let us know and we will do an entire episode on this. And everyone else, if you are interested, let Thomas know. And if you're not interested, also let us know, because that'll be a fun debate on the board game thread.
Yeah, I just looked. I have one game that is behind schedule on its delivery date.
Out of 30-some, I would say that's not too bad.
Out of 34, one game.
Yep. A quick technical note. Apparently, Google Play, when last week's episode posted, it only posted the first 19 minutes and some odd seconds. And as far as I can tell, there's nothing wrong with the file. There's nothing wrong with the feed. Our site is fine. iTunes is fine. Everything else is fine. I tried reposting it. It didn't seem to have any effect. So if you are a Google Play listener, I did try to fix it. And thank you to the people who reached out and let me know about the problem. I just don't know how to fix Google. Because
yeah, it doesn't seem to be our end. It's Google's fault. We're gonna blame Google.
But I did go out and buy an Android phone this week just so I could like see the problem. And there's a few other things I wanted to test with it. So I got like a cheap $50 or Android phone so I can do some more testing. But
you got the wrong phone, buddy.
You almost said
yeah. But I will keep an eye on it this week as well when it posts and see what happens. But yeah, let me know if, like I said, if anyone sees any problems. Tweeting us is probably the fastest way, because I see that faster than email, but I'll eventually see it in email as well. And we have a number of people who listen and that will reach out to me saying, hey, this was a problem or that was a problem. Normally it's like everything was fine, but anyway, apologies for that. Let's get into a subject. It's been 8 minutes and I don't know. Kickstarter just impassions me. I really like the Covenant cast.
I'll talk about Kickstarter forever. We'll have to do a Kickstarter revisit.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got so much more to say now.
Yeah, Thomas, whether you like it or not, we're probably going to answer your question on a future episode. So just to let you know, we have opinions on Kickstarter. And they're not actually the same all the time. It's not an echo chamber. So anyway, let's talk about something that's less controversial than Kickstarter. And that's whether or not something is a game or an activity or a puzzle. That seems like easy, right? So before we do, and my research on this is pretty simple. I just said define blah, 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 and put it out on the internet and, you know, got a lot of dictionary.com stuff. Plus, we got a lot of input from Board Game Geek. But I'm curious about your guys' definitions first. I know you're looking at the definitions, but if someone was to ask you, what are the quintessential features of a game, what would that be?
Define a game
for you.
For me, that's it.
Yes,
that's all I have to do.
That's all you have to do.
Just define a game. All right. So for me, a game is where you are doing an activity by following a set of rules to have fun.
Okay. What about you, Fletcher?
I mean, I would say it's actually like very similar. Like, you're following some set of rules to have fun. There's no winning. There's no competition. It's just like having... I would assume that like playing a game is about having fun. So that is like an important aspect of it.
All right. Now, I will ask, because a lot of people are listening saying, okay, I actually, let's just start out with some feedback here, because I think that, or input. CNH Schmidt, I am one of the people that is most annoyed about this discussion. As with most terms, these are clearly things that are games, and as with most things, there are clearly things that are games and clearly things that aren't, and also some that are somewhere in the middle. But most of the time, it really doesn't matter, and people who say X is not a game just do it to disparage the thing in question. Also, I posted that Cards Against Humanity, I was giving examples of an activity that wasn't a game, and I said Cards Against Humanity without keeping score. So I do understand that Cards Against Humanity is a game. I just thought that if you remove the score from it, then there is no longer a win-loss condition because you're not keeping score, and that you could play Cards Against Humanity as an activity. So I just want to put that out there. Yes, I agree. Cards Against Humanity is a game. I also agree that it doesn't have to be a good game to be a game. Like, I don't think it's... It is not right to say that that's not a game just because you don't think it's a good game. And that's not what I was doing with my Cards Against Humanity example. But I understand that there may be people out there that like this is a futile discussion, but I want to frame this in a little bit of a different way where, yes, it is a futile discussion to say this is a game or that's not a game and then argue about it unless you're arguing over beer and it's just something you have fun doing. The debate of what is a game or not can be a game in itself.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's an activity.
It's your and Spencer's favorite game.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's something to argue about, even if we agree. Let's argue. Great.
Yeah. That is you too, for sure.
So, but what I find interesting, so I designed games, I was in the video game industry for a while. I did a lot of game design there. I, you know, play with my own little game designs for board games from time to time. I actually have a notepad, like a digital notepad now, of just all kinds of game ideas that come up. So for me, defining this isn't necessarily a way of looking at something and saying, oh, that's a game or that's not a game or that's a good game or not. It is a way for me to structure my design ideas. So for me, a game, yes, it's a set of rules. You need restrictions in a game. I think you also have to be able to make choices in a game. And if there are no choices to make, then it doesn't satisfy that game feel. And I think a game does have a win-loss condition.
What is a game that you think, or something that is, because I feel like you're talking to something specific here with the, you have to make decisions. What's something that you don't make decisions?
A very popular game that probably most people have played called LCR, Left, Center, Right. Where you can find this in just about any Walgreens or drugstore or something. Yeah. Just go to the card section. And in this quote-unquote game, you roll a die. And it's going to say, pass a chip to the left, pass a chip to the right, or put a chip in the center. There are no decisions to be made. You just do what the dice tell you. And then you pass the dice, you keep doing it until one person has all the chips left. You could also say War, the card game War. Yeah. There are no decisions to be made. Now, does that mean, do I think these are bad games? No, I just don't think they are. If I was designing a game.
You don't even think they are games, exactly. Apparently.
They're activities.
Which is not bad. Again, it's not a bad thing not to be a game. It's not an insult. Yeah. But if I'm designing a game, I want something that has these elements, like these restrictions, these choices, and a win condition that will, you know, that you're attempting to make choices to get towards.
I don't know.
How about a goal?
Yeah.
Not necessarily a win, but a goal.
A goal.
An end line.
Fletcher, you don't agree with me.
No, I don't really. Because I would say War is a game. Because what you're saying is, you're not saying like, oh, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. No, you're saying it's not even bad. It's like, it's not even. It's just something else. It's like knitting.
It doesn't even get to be rated.
Don't get mean about knitting.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's not a game. Like War. What you're doing is you're playing War with string.
Well, and you can say something like Candyland, in that by that definition, Candyland is not a game, right? Because there are no choices to be made.
It's been a while since I played Candyland.
Candyland is, I think it's roll a die and move that many spaces and
you draw a card.
Is it like shoots and ladders?
You draw a card and you move to the color.
Yep. Now, again, saying something's not a game is not an insult. it's just by my definition of needing to have choices, it doesn't satisfy that.
So something I will say about both Candyland and War is there is a win condition.
Yes.
And both of those games are played by mostly very young children. And the thing that those games are doing is teaching you how to win and lose without making people not want to play with you. And that's a really important skill for kids and adults sometimes to learn, is that if you don't win or lose graciously, then nobody's going to want to play with you in the future. And it is true that you're not making decisions there, but you are reaching a point that is important.
I think Anne would agree with you. So she actually posted a definition from Wikipedia, which I did not grab this one because she had already done it. So I'm going to read this definition from Wikipedia first. A game is a structured form of play, usually undertaken for enjoyment, and sometimes used as an educational tool. Games are distinct from work, which is the employment part, which is usually carried out for remuneration and an art form. Anyway, the point is, they're not work. They're not art. They're an activity, you know, that you're doing for as enjoyment or education.
As a play.
Right. Now, Anne says, I think that the Wikipedia definition is a useful one in that it draws a distinction between work and play. And that goes to say that games are a subset of play. The key distinction is that games require structure. For me, that distinction is important most often when looking at gaming with children. Young children, especially, need play, unstructured activity, so that they can self-develop the capacity and understanding required for games in a sense of structured activity. So I think this is interesting where, because after I started researching this, I'm like, okay, play and games, they're different things, but they're worth both looking at. Like, what is play?
You can't have games without play. To me, a game is played. It is a form of play. I completely agree with Anne and Wikipedia here. If a game is work, it's no longer a game. And that's a problem that I have sometimes in the hobby when, like, looking at you first, Martian. If a game becomes work, it's not fun and I don't want to do it anymore.
So, yes, but again, let's be careful. We're not trying to use derogatory terms because First Martians is a game. Like, I think it is. It's not our cup of tea.
It's just not my favorite.
So, all right, let's still look at the definition of play from dictionary.com. Engage in an activity for enjoyment and recreational rather than a sense of practical or serious purpose. Or an activity engaged in for enjoyment and recreation, especially by children. I don't know that they need the especially by children. I think lots of people can play, but I do see that children need play for development, right?
Yes, it's incredibly important.
Is play the superset to all of this? Like whether or not it's a game, a puzzle, or an activity doesn't matter. Like,
It's
all part of play.
Probably, yeah.
I think so.
All right. We're good there.
I can't think of an example that wouldn't be.
We listened to Kitty first.
One of those
Martian.
Like super general words.
Well, but for her, that's not play. So
right.
No, it becomes work.
So it's work. So first Martian's not a game.
It's individual to like person, right? Like
yeah.
You can super hate one particular game or you know, whatever.
Activity,
and for you,
puzzle
even though
type.
It's some people, yeah. Consider that a game or play, you consider that like tedious work.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's the thing about this whole thing. It can be incredibly subjective because it's so based in your opinions about the activity, puzzle, or game. Because to a lot of people, puzzles are games. They're enjoying it. There's rules that you have to follow. So something like Sudoku. Sudoku is a game and a puzzle. It is following a set of rules to meet a win condition for fun. You play it, you win or you lose. Really, you win or you get stumped. So I guess that's losing. I think it can be both. But for some people, that's work. I don't want to do it. Why does this exist in the world? And it's just a complete matter of opinion on what do you enjoy.
I think Chris would say that he would not consider that a game. Because there's no choices to be made.
So,
not really.
A little bit. So, what ends up happening with something like Sudoku, which I've never actually thought of it as a game, I've always thought of it as a puzzle, kind of like a crossword puzzle or something like that, is there are no choices to be made. because there is only one path to get to where you're going. Now, there might be a branch here and there, but you're always going to end up in the same place. Whether you fill out the sixes first or the eights first, that's not a meaningful choice because there is a logical choice to what needs to come next, even if there are multiple things that could come next. It's just going to unlock more logical choices. That doesn't mean it's not fun. I love Sudoku. It's plenty of fun. But all right, let's look at the definition of puzzle because then I can hide behind that. So again, definition.com. A puzzle is a game, toy, or problem designed to test ingenuity or knowledge. And then from Wikipedia, they add, in a puzzle, the solver is expected to put pieces together in a logical way in order to arrive at the correct or fun solution of the puzzle. I like this can be correct or fun. Not both. There are different genres of puzzles, such as crossword puzzles, word search puzzles, number puzzles, relation puzzles, and logic puzzles. And they actually list about 30 different types of puzzles. I think that puzzles are a subset of games, though. Not all puzzles are... Well, actually, maybe it's the other way.
No, games are not all games are puzzles. Yeah.
But not all... Yes, no. Puzzles are, no, I don't think...
All puzzles are games... Not all games are puzzles.
Yes, but not all puzzles are games.
No, you just undid what I said.
I know, because not all puzzles are games.
According to Chris.
What's a puzzle that's not a game?
Sudoku. Crosswords.
Why is it not a game?
Rubik's Cubes.
Because of the choices?
Mostly because of the choices. Because I think...
See, so I think because there is... What about Pandemic?
Pandemic is a game.
Because there are choices to be made? There's more than one.
Yes.
Because to me, Pandemic is also a puzzle.
It is. I'll give it to you. But it's also, depending on what you do, can affect the outcome of what happens next. So if we decide to cure a particular disease, because that's what we're going to emphasize, the next time those cards pop up, that there's no cubes that are going to be put on there because we've eradicated it. So those cards no longer have an effect. Where if we chose not to do that, the next time that card came up, some catastrophic, you know, thing could happen. And it becomes very, very different based on what our choices are. And the result is very, very different based on what our choices are. Even though the solution can be different too. I guess you have to cure everything, but how well you cure them could be different. But
I just think because you can... do it wrong.
Yes.
So.
I mean, you could do any game
wrong. I don't know. Yeah. So like if you're playing.
I think that's part of choices.
Yes.
You can make bad choices.
Exactly. That's the thing is you can make good or bad choices. You can do it better or not better.
Just because there is only one correct answer doesn't mean you're not making a choice. So if you are doing a Sudoku puzzle. And you are looking and you think you know the correct number and you write it in the square and then you make four other numbers based on that and realize that you have made a mistake and you are wrong. That was a choice that you made to go forward on your assumption.
Yes, but it wasn't. I'm not saying you can't make choices in puzzles that aren't correct. I can, you know, a crossword puzzle, I can put the wrong words in there as well. Yes, I can.
What Chris is saying, you can't affect the game, really. You're just like hastening your lose condition.
Yes.
You don't make a choice to like unlock a different row in crosswords.
So, and really, again, these are just the way I look at it when approaching something. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought of a good example. So like this is a video game, but think of Tetris, yes. Right? So that's like a puzzle that's also a game.
Mm-hmm.
That like there is a win condition, right? But you can make poor decisions by stacking all the blocks on top of each other to lose quickly. Or you can make good decisions by like, you know, fitting the blocks together really well and like scoring Tetrises all the time. So this is that's like a puzzle with a game aspect.
Now, someone, and I don't remember, so I apologize. I'm pretty sure it was somebody who sent us either feedback or it wasn't in the input thread, but puzzles, it was his premise that puzzles are not games because you have to have a win condition, a win or loss condition. And a puzzle doesn't have any kind of restriction. It's either solved or it's not solved. You can't win a puzzle. You solve a puzzle. And
I call it winning.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
But if it's a puzzle, you know when you're done with it, it's done. This is the solution. The Rubik's Cube, you look at all the sides, they're all solid colors. Great. I solved this cubed. I won the Rubik's Cube. Nobody says that, but I did it. But he's premised that you can turn puzzles into games by adding a win-loss condition. So you have to solve the Rubik's Cube within 10 minutes to win this game. And if you put a timer on it, if you put something that says, here is your loss condition, this is how you know you lost, then it turns a puzzle into a game. And I kind of see that. I buy that. And I think that's where a lot of our board games where people are like, oh, that's just a puzzle, it tries to turn it into a game by adding these elements that are potentially missing, and depending on your definition of game. A win-loss condition is one of those elements. With Pandemic, I don't know. I don't think Pandemic is all that puzzly, honestly. I think
I was going to say, like, that you get into slippery slope territory with, like, adding timers to, like, gamify things. There's so many things that try to, like, gamify. It's like, let's gamify laundry. You know, there's apps out there that's like, let's gamify, like, going to the gym. Let's gamify this. Let's gamify that. Like, no one's ever, like, fooled. And, like, yeah, it might, like, help you a little bit when you, like, try to add a time limit to doing laundry or, like, see how fast you can,
I'm gonna,
like,
get a 10-day streak for actually doing it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, is it really a game when you just add timers to things? Or is that just like an additional condition?
Well, let's take a look at an escape room then. So the escape room games, escape rooms in a box. Again, it doesn't matter if they're a game or not. They are fun. I enjoy them. But if you didn't have a timer on them, would they still be a game, or at that point, are they a puzzle to be solved?
They're a puzzle. I don't care if you put a timer on it. They're still a puzzle.
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
So an escape room game is a puzzle.
But I think puzzles are games. So.
Right, exactly. I think puzzles are games. But yeah, I agree. I'm with Kitty.
So you're saying all puzzles are games?
Yeah.
I think that puzzle is a subset of game. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm honestly not going to disagree with that.
Because it's my personal opinion. It's,
yeah.
You know, these definitions are very wishy-washy. And here's the thing about activities, games, and puzzles. I like all of them. I do all of them. Like, that's the real thing. Is like, they're like, we keep saying, like, oh, we're not disparaging. Yeah, I'm not disparaging because I enjoy doing any of these things. It's just fun to, like, sort for me.
Yeah.
Back to our preschool, like, play is important. So is sorting. Categorizing is fun.
Well, now let's look at activities, because one of the things that, and I was guilty of this, I would say, or actually other people were guilty of calling my designs this. So they'd say things along, there's a particular game and a particular person, and that person's not listening, but if they were, but anyway. So I designed this game, and it's a touchscreen video game. And the idea was you have a grid, it was a 5x5 grid, and there were some block spaces, and three gems would appear on the screen in random places. You touch a gem and you could slide it through to another gem. As long as there was an open path, you could slide it. When you got three gems next to each other, the gems would explode and you'd have more space. So kind of a puzzly match three thing. And his thing, and I really enjoyed this game, lots of people really enjoyed this game, and his thing was, it's not a game, it's an activity. And that's one of the most derogatory things you can say about a game. It's like, that's not really a game, that's just something you have to do. And so I want to define activity here.
Games are activities. I hate to break it to you.
Well, but
not all activities are games.
Exactly.
That's true.
So let's see. An activity is defined as a thing that a person or group does or has done. So that has nothing to do with a game, like, but all games and puzzles are things that a person or group does or has done, right? Or a recreational pursuit or pastime. Okay, that's closer to, like, kind of a game or play or something like that. It could also be an action taken by a group in order to achieve their aim. So this could be games have goals, you know, and puzzles are things you're doing to solve the puzzles. In my mind, an activity is all of these things. Activity is for play, activity is a puzzle, activity is a game. So it's not a game, it's an activity. All you're basically saying is, well, it falls in a different category. So
no, what he's saying is wrong. Well, I mean, to me anyway, like, all games are activities. So when someone says it's not a game, it's an activity,
but
it's like, no, they're in the same category.
It's just moving it to, like, so, like, you know, if you're looking at a bullseye, the center bullseye to me is puzzles. And that was within the game's bullseye. And then activities is the outer circle. So, you know, like he's saying like, oh, you tried to hit a bullseye, but instead you hit the edge. Not saying that you're trying to hit puzzles, that puzzles are the best kind of games, but they are.
I understand what he's trying to say, but it's wrong because
yeah,
games are activities.
Well, but it's not a game, it's activity does not mean that it's not. So it's just like saying it's not a game. Yes, it's still an activity. Agreed. Yeah. But it doesn't. Not all activities are games, right? So it could be something else. I mean, heck,
knitting.
Yeah, doing this podcast is an activity.
But then it's like, okay, well, then describe what this is then, besides like activity.
Right. Tell me what it is then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it in a different circle then. Tell me what I am doing.
Like, if you're saying that it's outside the game bubble, but inside the activity bubble, and games are also inside the activity bubble, I mean, this is really bad for podcasting. It's like, let me diagram this out using word vomit. But like, describe what this is then, if it's not game.
I think this kind of falls into a discussion I've seen a lot of places lately, is the what is a gamer discussion. And there are a lot of people out there who don't call themselves gamers, but then when you talk to them, they play games all day long. But it might be, you know, an older person who plays word searches all day, does word search puzzles.
SimCity.
Yeah, SimCity. Candy Crush. Yep. You can play Candy Crush all day. Like my mother does. My mother plays her mobile apps. You ask my mom if she's a gamer. No. Then why are you spending so much of your money on games? You know, like that. And
it's not playing games, it's gambling. It's different.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, is gambling gaming? Yeah, I would
it
say
it is.
So Chris Anderson says he's not sure that there is anything to be gained by this debate. I'm starting to agree with you, Chris. But he says, I suppose it can be useful to lump certain activities together by category so you can have a better inkling of if you will enjoy one over the other. Based on past experiences, I think that activity, puzzles, games category may be a little too broad to function usefully, though. And I think that the most gamers debate in a little bit of each. That I think that most games dabble in a little bit of each. I've had a good time playing Cards Against Humanity, even though that sort of thing isn't typically what I gravitate towards. So really what Chris is saying here is, these are so broad that if you say, I'm not a gamer, I only play puzzles. Mm-hmm. Like, does that sentence even make sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, play puzzles isn't it, but I think that's just because that's not the word we use.
Well,
I mean, and the label gamer has like a different kind of context attached to it. So
Humble Tech Priest, if you play peekaboo with your kid, is this an activity or a game? I mean, I was brought up to call it a game of peekaboo. However, we don't keep score. All I know is I will play whatever interests me, regardless of labels people want to put on them. So is peekaboo a game?
No. As somebody who plays a lot of it, it's an activity. It's fun. And a lot of things that we call games that might not technically be games, something like Peekaboo, Candyland, War, they seem more like teaching. You know, like when we're playing Peekaboo, we're really teaching our kids about object permanence. You know, like that's a thing we're doing. Like we're playing War, we're playing Candyland, we're teaching how to follow rules, how to, you know, win and lose gracefully, all sorts of other important, how to take turns. Like there's how to sit still at a table for more than 5 minutes. There's so much going on that we don't normally think about. And they are fun for the kids to do. They're easy for them to pick up on it. But at the same time, for an adult, it's not really a game.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what my conclusion is there, except that game is a meaningless word that we all throw around without understanding it. Because what I think of when I think of games is the famous quote from Justice Stewart.
Yes.
And he was talking about obscenity, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
When you're looking, like you see something, you're looking at somebody at a restaurant doing something, they're like, oh, look, they're playing a game. I know it when I see it.
Now, what's interesting with that quote is he also acknowledged that it's subjective.
Yeah.
And one person knowing it when they see it is different than another person, which is exactly why you can't put a label on it. You can't define it mm-hmm. because it depends on who you are as to how you feel about or observe that particular thing. Like, again, back to Sudoku.
That's how I say it. I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah. I enjoy those puzzles. And I would probably say, I was about to say, I enjoy playing them. But they are a solo activity. Like, it is just something.
Except that one time that we sat and did it together.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
That was killer Sudoku, though.
It was.
That was like a new level.
And we're like, oh, we're taking this down. I'm trying to decide, and this is the reason sort of why I want to talk about it. Most of the stuff that I do on this show is just to kind of work through my own internal thoughts, and that's why most of these shows are scary. So I do still think from a design perspective, there are certain elements of a game that I try to make sure exist. And if something is missing, so it's kind of a rubric of a design. It's like, here's this design, here's the traits I want to define a game by. And if there's something missing in this design, then I'm missing, I need to go back to the drawing board or I need to refine something. The one thing that I don't have in my definition that I said earlier was fun. A game isn't necessarily have to have fun as part of the definition. When you're designing a game, you hope that the fun comes out of it. But that's tricky because you can't actually say, okay, and here's where I'm going to add fun, right? Mm-hmm. Fun doesn't work like that. Enjoyment doesn't work like that.
I feel like what you're trying to do as a game designer more than make it fun is to not make it not fun.
Yes.
Yes.
You're trying
double
not
negative,
to make it
hard to parse.
Right? you're trying not to suck the fun out of an activity.
I'm trying to minimize the work. In a lot of cases.
Yes.
Because it's really easy to make a gaming system that is just tedious. It's like, okay.
Pathfinder.
Like Pathfinder.
And I love it. I love it so much. Don't get me wrong. But like Pathfinder is for people who wanted to be lawyers but didn't want to make money. It's incredibly rules heavy. It can be quite tedious if it's not your thing. But there are people who that is like so their jam. They love it. They love it so much.
Honestly, I went through a phase, never really with Pathfinder, but with many, many things that are what most people would find tedious, I truly enjoy. I spent probably, 20 hours over the past 3 weeks just organizing, sleeving, resleeving, changing, adding different dividers, my Arkham Horror card game cards.
But that's just kind of like the hobby kind of aspect of any kind of game. Just like if you collected records, like you guys have seen like what's that John Cusack movie in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
High Fidelity.
It's like, oh, how did you rate? Like, autobiographically. That just like pops into my head. He loves to rearrange his record collection. And this time he did it autobiographically. So.
And that can be, I don't know if it's a game, but it's certainly a fun activity at times. But if you're designing a game, I will say that you do want to minimize the tediousness of it. You want the game mechanics, what you want the game to do is shine in a simple way where, and as simple as possible. Just reduce the work.
Complexity is not bad, but unnecessary complexity sucks fun.
Right. Or, maybe it just never gets paid attention to. Maybe you focus too much on one thing or the other. And yeah, I have a lot of games where it's like, yes, this mechanically works, but really what this is I've designed a logic puzzle. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do this, then this, then this. And to introduce the fun is a totally different thing. Like, I personally like to reduce randomness in general. I don't like randomness in my designs, although I really like randomness in games. But when the more you reduce randomness, the more you turn it into, a test or a puzzle. It's not so much something that feels like there's meaningful decisions anymore. It's like, this is what you would do in this situation. So that's where I am coming from. This is like, I want to have something that's a little bit further away from the puzzle side. Definitely game elements, but with some fun in there. All right. And I think, let's see, we have one. Julene put a comment. Actually, one of the very first comments in the thread is a game is a thing. Well, this was a quote by a Magic the Gathering designer. A game is a thing with a goal or goals, restrictions, agency, and what I find interesting is a lack of real world relevance. So basically, this article, and it'll be a link in the show notes, and we'll highlight a few things here and there. But basically, what he's saying here is you have to have a goal to be a game from a designer's point of view. So we're going to switch this over to a designer's point of view. Whatever that goal is, and puzzle could be part of this, right? A puzzle has a goal of solving that puzzle. Mm-hmm. There needs to be restrictions. There's certain rules that are going to happen. Puzzles are also like this. You know, Sudoku, mm-hmm. Sudoku, however I say that. I say it different every time I say it. You know, there are...
You get it right once then.
I know. There are rules that you must follow.
Yeah.
Agency, though, may be lacking. Because with agency, you're looking at, and he probably says it better here, a game needs to have decisions, and those decisions must matter. Having a choice where the proper way to play is always making the same choice is not really a decision. This is where, you know, whether it's a puzzle or not comes in. As such, is not giving the player agency. Player involvement in the game and its outcome is core to the experience of a game. Now, this is just one designer's point of view, but I find that interesting. In that I completely agree with what they're saying there. And this is where this agency comes in.
I do have a maybe bone to pick with the lack of real world. Lack of real world.
Relevant.
Usefulness. Relevance. Yeah. There you go. Because I have been playing a lot of Wingspan, and I am pretty sure I can identify every bird that flies into my yard now.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to have... So I don't think that's exactly what we're talking here. His thing is here, a game is something that you opt into doing because you want the experience of playing it. Labeling every obstacle you run into in life a game quickly robs the term of any meaning. We use the expression play a game because it's an activity we opt into for some gain, usually entertainment under education, but there are many other resources or reasons. So this goes to what Fletcher was saying where, you know, gamifying laundry doesn't really make it a game.
Mary Poppins lied to us.
Mary Poppins is a liar. I knew this from the start, though. So, I mean, what part of this... I guess we've just talked about where you guys don't feel agency is required to be a game. And, again, understanding.
Yeah, I could go back and forth on it. I just think that, for me, a puzzle falls under the category of game because I don't... Like, maybe it is my, like, bias of, you know, like, if you're saying it's not a game, it means that it has less value. Like, the term game is a valuable term and that people seek it out. So by taking it away from puzzles, it feels like you're devaluing them in some way. So I'm defensive about it. I don't know. Maybe that's just it.
That's a great observation. Like, because, again, I want to repeat over and over and over. I don't think
even if it's not a game, it's not bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you don't have it just because it is a game, it doesn't mean it's good. And just because it's not a game doesn't mean it's bad. Fun activities are fun activities.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy them, that's great. Julian goes on later saying, I believe that the end goal of such a discussion should not be to actually classify what is a game and what is not. Sorry, too late. this would only end up in hot debates about fridge games, but to actually talk about it. Some people already mentioned that, and this was in response to the thread in general. Some people already mentioned that what could be gained from such a discussion above. I will add one more aspect. This could lead you to some answer the question, why do I, you, he, she like games or not? And then to a better understanding of people around you and or yourself. For example, speaking of herself, one thing that really resonated with me when I read Rosewater's theory, this is the... Magic the Gathering article we just talked about, is that games have no real world or consequences. I tend to be afraid to try new things, talk to new people, challenge myself. But in a game, all hell is loose. I'll do anything. I'll try anything. There are no consequences, no consequential characteristics that has to be the reason. Maybe I could draw from my game love to improve myself. Can I? Will I? How? Do I not know? But reading about it made me think about it, and that's important to me. So that's really what this whole idea is of discussion this. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody should really get, I don't know, like defensive, right? You know,
yeah.
Kitty, you're naturally like, oh, you're calling my favorite activity not a game. I will fight you.
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting to take those moments of reflection sometimes. And I, yeah, you know, there's something to be said about, like, you know, even if it's not a game, it's still valuable.
Yes.
And, you know, nothing, like, nothing's going to take away its worth to you and your enjoyment of it by defining it in whatever way.
Well, and
so,
and both,
this whole thing has no meaning.
Yeah, and Aaron and Tim both mentioned similar things. So Aaron says, why does it have to be defined? If you're having fun playing it, then that's all that matters. And again, agreed, we don't have to define these things. It's sort of the kind of the same thing when we define anything, you know, Eurogame versus Amerithrash. You know, why are we defining those? Why are we talking? Do you like it, you don't like it, or whatever. But it helps us understand ourselves when we understand the things we like. So I think that that's really... as long as we're not using it to attack other people, and this is a self-understanding thing.
As long as it's a reflection and not a
accusation. Attack, right.
Accusation, yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that this is a fun question just to ask yourself. Don't worry about what other people have said and how they may have, you know, said something that you liked wasn't what you think it was. Just ask yourself, it's like, okay, why do I feel that this is not a game? Why do I feel this is, you know, not fun? Or when you are able to answer those questions, you're better able to, and this is going to sound deep, but you're better able to understand yourself and understand how you can make choices that are going to make you happier in the long run and going forward. Is that too deep? I can back that out. No, I can edit all
like
that. It's
like a good off. Type of like self epistemology.
Is that a swear word? Do I have to bleep that? So Tim said, he actually was commenting on the detective, as detective the game. He's like, our group just finished Detective, a modern crime board game. It says board game right in the title, but it's more of a group puzzle, even though there is a score. So in to Tim's perspective in this, he's like, you know, and I just played Chronicles of Crime, which is kind of a similar thing. And they're like, these are just puzzles that we're all trying to solve together. And maybe there is. There's a score. There's a time limit to these games. Maybe it is a puzzle, but maybe it's a puzzle that people have decided to call a game and a fun activity. And by playing that, if you enjoy them, great. It doesn't matter that they're puzzles. I like escape room games. I like time stories.
Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
He actually mentioned that specifically as well.
Yep. You know, definitely a puzzle, but it's a puzzle you can play with up to 8 people.
Yeah. You know, and it doesn't matter that they're a puzzle. They're still enjoyable. And if somebody wants to call them a game to make that distinction that this is an enjoyable activity that we can play together, then it's a game. You know, that's a fine definition of something. You know, something we can play together and we're all going to win or lose together. We're all going to complete the puzzle or not complete the puzzle together. Or solo. If you want to play solo, it doesn't mean it's not a game.
Is Mad Libs a game?
Yes.
I don't know. It's definitely an activity. See, and I still like I want to classify things in different ways.
It's definitely an activity. It might be a game. I like it. So my reflex is it's a game. I love it. I love it. It's a game.
Is knitting a game?
No. And it's weird that that's a kind of distinction. Like there are many, like that's a craft. A craft is also an activity. And I would never overlap games and crafts that they're like so clearly defined, but there is this weird overlap between puzzles, games, activities that it's hard to sort them out sometimes.
Is it possible that you're looking at the external fun as a distinguishing factor here? Because when you're playing Mad Libs, you're not oftentimes, I just said playing Mad Libs for a reason, you're oftentimes not doing it solo. Sometimes you might be. But ultimately, the end result is meant to be shared in usually a humorous way.
Yeah, but you can't win.
Sure. But I mean...
So, I'm going back on my own definition there. Like, you know, and so maybe it's not a game, but it is a...
fun activity.
It's a game adjacent activity.
Game adjacent. I like that. We don't need to have, you know, labels don't have to be a thing. You can be anywhere you want in that game area, that bullseye of
overlapping. So the more circles we talk about it, the more I'm convinced that it's actually a Venn diagram within a, so like activities is the circle with a Venn diagram of puzzles and games contained within it.
Yeah, it's definitely a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
But you wanted to put all your circles inside of each other, and I'm not going to
argue. I can't name any other diagrams, so it's definitely a Venn one.
It's not a pie chart. I'll give you that, you know, because there's some overlap there. Let's see. Do we have any other interesting tidbits here? Corey says, what is interesting to me in this thing that happens with games like Concept and Cards Against Humanity, games that meet the technical criteria of game, but out in the wild, they reveal their true identity to be that of an activity. So basically what he's saying here is when you're playing Concept or you're playing Cards Against Humanity, even though the rules have all of these things of, you know, calling it a game so you can win conditions
and such. Once you hit this many cards, you win. If you know, there are points to be scored. You award,
But
award points to people.
But once people
start, nobody does it.
Yeah, playing them, and when you're having fun, you don't need them to be a game. The activity by itself is fun. And, you know, I've many, many times, it's a very common thing that I do not like Cards Against Humanity. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like Cards Against Humanity. One of them is that the way I've typically been forced to play it is in a non-game way. And that's not the problem. The fact that when you do it that way, it never ends.
My issue with it more, so I like Cards Against Humanity. I like that type of game slash activity. I would put, you know, Cards Against Humanity, Apples to Apples, Telestration, any of these large group party games that often get pulled out. The thing that sort of makes me like, eh, when people talk about them is a lot of times people are like, hey, we're having game night, come over. And I get like so amped. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get to play. And I'm like, how many people do you think are going to be there? What games am I going to play? And I ask the host like, oh, can I bring a game? How many people are going to be there? And they're like, 10 to 12. And I'm like, oh.
We're going
to
play
Cards Against Humanity all night. Yeah. And charades. I'm just sad.
Maybe.
It makes me sad.
Well, so,
but I still have fun and I have a great time. And I don't like, oh, well, if they're playing Cards Against Humanity, I'm not going to go to the party then. I'm going to sit by myself and do my puzzle games.
I wish I could do that. I do sulk. I literally, the last time this happened to me, I went to, we're doing a game night and there was a bunch of people. And I knew walking in, I'm like, oh, these aren't gamers. Oh no, what is that sitting on the table?
And it's a black box.
And no. I couldn't wait to leave. Like that's really where I was at. And this is terrible of me. But the game, they weren't keeping score, so there was literally no end. And they were just going until they ran out of cards. Like that was the goal. It's just let's get through all the cards. But Corey asks a more positive question. What is it about these games that allow them to shed their rules like shed the rules like that almost naturally? Is it some aspect of the design or experience? And he says he has no idea, but he's interesting saying. But I do think that this gets to the core of what we're talking about. Whether or not Cards Against Humanity is something you enjoy and whether or not you play it by the rules doesn't really matter. You are playing something. It is play. And whatever you're doing, whatever play you're doing, whether or not you want to label that, put that game label on there or activity label on there, doesn't matter. I think truly what matters is, are you having fun playing? And just getting to that core, like word, it doesn't matter what you're doing when you're playing, but when you're playing, are you having fun? That's what matters. And then you can analyze what type of play you have the most fun with. But I think that's why these games can shed their rules and still be fun.
Yep.
All right. Did we do
I agree.
Good enough job here?
I mean, we talked long enough. I don't know if we came up with any conclusions or anything relevant, but I learned something about myself.
Yeah. I think I did a little bit too. I'm still going
to
look at game.
It's good to like ask these introspective questions. Yeah. Like, I know some people were like, oh, what does it matter? Why do we need to define it? And it's like, well, I mean, we don't need to define it, but we get to find out more about ourselves and like what we think is
it's about
game
the journey.
Isn't a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we will end with a quote from Reiner Knizia. Thank you, Eric, for providing this. When playing a game, the goal is to win, but it is the goal that is important, not the winning. So take that for what it is. I mean, he's very successful. He's got to know something. All right, let's see here. I'm hoping that this posts fine on Google Play. If it doesn't, I'll give Google a call.
You won't be hearing this because we ended 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, because you don't know. There's a few other updates. I've updated the website. So I even put little placeholder bios in for you guys so you can feel free to go in and add some stuff if you'd like, though. So that's all updated. All the email addresses are updated on the website. I did some optimizations with it too, so it was really slow before. It should be faster now. We are still looking at a good way to record live, or quote unquote live. We can't do it with Discord. I'm looking at Twitch as a possible alternative. I have to do some checking on that, but we are still looking at that. And patrons are now getting show notes. I have to remember to do it when I post the show, but they're getting them and they're seeing them. And you get to see all these different quotes. And I think that's really all that I have. You guys don't have any announcements, do you? Any news items?
Nope. Not today.
All right. GaryCon or Adepticon, those are my next two conventions. And Kitty, did you signed up? Oh, you're on the... Did you sign up for the Adepticon Keyforge tournament?
I am on the wait list. I think they opened up more spaces, but they haven't sent it to the wait list yet. So fingers crossed I'll be in.
Yeah.
I waited too long though.
I'm really, really excited. It turns out they added a little bit more detail. So it's now a 2-day thing. So the first day is like a survival style. We're going to talk Keyforge just a minute. So you can tune out if you want to, but survival style. So you're going to bring
15 ahead twice, probably.
You bring three decks and your opponent gets to eliminate one of them. And then you pick from the remaining two. But as soon as you lose with all of your decks, then you're out of the competition. And then the second day, you take whatever surviving decks, choose one, and you play a normal competition. So it's a big deal. It looks like a pretty big tournament. So anyway, is Adepticon on March 27th through the 31st. You can follow us on Facebook at @TabletopGameTalkPodcast, Twitter at @TabletopGameTLK, Kitty's Lawful Good Mom, Fletcher is Net Fletch. I'm Game Master Chris. Help us out on Patreon. Go to TabletopGameTalk.com/Patreon. There is a Friend of the Show spot open. And again, Friend of the Show, if you want to make us talk about a topic, we will do that. I may reword it a little bit, but you can, as long as it's gaming related, we'll talk about it. Okay. And that's good enough for me. Kitty, go.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening. And remember, we love your feedback. So email us with comments or questions about today's topic at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com. And you'll be entered into a $50 gift card drawing on our next feedback episode. Finally, a huge thank you to our patrons. George, Adam Harrison, the SGC, Thomas Etchiretti, Jason Strong, Terrence Miltner, Stephen Seitz,
Michael Ohl, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Wong, Stephen Phillips, Caleb O'Brien, Jennifer Lingerbett, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, David Radke, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Lum, Phil Schwartzel, and Reynolds.
Eric Huffman, Adrian Dong, Christopher Vincent, Nate Faz Flinthen.
That's good.
Wesley Trailer, Tim Vering, Chris Lowe, Joe Hoover, Timothy Gross, Glenn Cotter, Jesse Wachowiak, Barry Peterson, Ben Gary, Emil Jewel Jacobson, Marina Stevens, and Brandy Meltzer.
And we won't forget about Sean Peck, Eric Seelander, Mike Smith, Kristen Meyer, Trevor Davis. Until next week, keep playing games and having fun. Played The Mind, which we didn't bring up, but
I meant to. Oh, it's an activity.
No, I'm saying it's a game for sure. So we played four players. It was Josh and Gloria, me and my mother, all played The Mind. And when we first started out, we were terrible. By the end, we beat it. Well, we would have beat it. We were on level 8 with like 4 lives and 2 weapons, and we were just like nailing everything. It is a game. You can get better at it. There's strategy. It's good. Or not.